Welcome to The Rework with Allison Tyler Jones, a podcast dedicated to inspiring portrait photographers to uniquely brand, profitably price, and confidently sell their best work. Allison has been doing just that for the last 15 years, and she's proven that it's possible to create unforgettable art and run a portrait business that supports your family and your dreams. All it takes is a little rework. Episodes will include interviews with experts from in and outside of the photo industry, mini workshops, and behind-the-scenes secrets that Allison uses in her portrait studio every single day. She will challenge your thinking and inspire your confidence to create a profitable, sustainable portrait business you love through continually refining and reworking your business. Let's do the rework.
Have you ever heard the expression, don't let the door hit your bum on the way out? Okay, that probably sounds really weird, but we are this close to closing the doors on our Cash to Confidence Bootcamp, and I don't want you to miss out. Honestly, I think your bum's probably starting to hurt because of all the fence sitting that you're doing. But for real, if you're sitting there walking your dog on the treadmill, trying to decide on whether or not to fork over a measly $47 for a game-changing week with us, or if you're all up in your head thinking, how can I charge more, make more money in this business when my work isn't as good as I want it to be, and I don't know where to find great clients, and know this, you don't have to have it all figured out in order to get started. In fact, that's the whole idea of the Confidence to Cash Bootcamp. Throughout our week together, I'm going to walk you through expanding your vision of what's possible for you, laying the foundation for rock solid confidence in the value that you bring, crafting a clear message that will attract the right, best clients for your business, mapping out your money that you want to make and how to get there, and creating a step-by-step ideal sale that will have your clients digging for their credit card. And yes, you'll be able to do this, even if your name isn't Annie Leibovitz and you haven't won a single image competition. Get off your cute little bum and go to dotherework.com/bootcamp. Get the details, sign up, and I'll see you there. Hi, friends, and welcome back to The Rework. You are going to love today's episode because we are talking about one of those topics that just, I think, makes everybody cringe when people say, well, how do you get referrals? Like, how do you ask for referrals? Like, the very thought of that just feels so cringy to me. And I know I'm not alone. I know that many of you feel the same way. And so what happens? We don't ask for referrals. Well, I can tell you that today's guest, Mrs. Lisa Daniel of Gregory Daniel Portraits in Florida, is here. And if this soft-spoken, nice, nothing but class lady can ask for referrals, you and I can do it for sure. And we're going to learn to do it the Lisa Daniel way, and we can adapt it for our own uses. And I can't wait for you to hear what she has to say. So let's dive into how to ask for referrals without it being cringy. Let's do it. Well, I'm so excited to welcome this morning Lisa Daniel from Gregory Daniel Photography in Florida, a dear friend, and just so happy to have a great sales brain, a great marketing brain in the studio. I'm so happy that you're here today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. I don't know if I can live up to those greats, but I will do my very best.
Oh, there are more superlatives. I left off a few.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it at that.
Keeping Gregory on track, keeping him properly nutritionized, you know, all the things that you do for other people in your world. And grandmother extraordinaire.
Yeah, there we go. I'll take that one.
That's the best title for sure. Okay. So Lisa, you want to talk about what you call the 6 degrees of separation. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I really truly find that in this world that we are living in now, it's all about relationships and relationship marketing. And there's lots of books on that kind of thing. But it's very basic to me. It's the old-fashioned word of mouth, as people want to call it. But it's using a little bit of help or a trigger, like from me to a client trying to get somebody new in. So I feel like in this world where we are bombarded with beautiful pictures every day on Instagram and Facebook and, you know, all the things, it's kind of overwhelming for any client to want to do anything. They don't even know where to start. They don't know what to do. So if we use some of our trigger marketing techniques and some of our relationship marketing techniques, I think that seems to work the best, at least for what we do. We are a higher end studio. We are lower volume. So we're not crazy as far as having, you know, seven or eight
hundreds people. Of people through the door. Yeah.
No, that's not who we are. Not that there's a thing wrong with that. I am flat out too old to do that anymore. So no, we don't do that.
Yeah. You're intentionally low volume. So the people that, well, and also what you're creating for your clients is very labor intensive. It's very, you know, it's not like a bunch of little things. It's like one big, really special thing that takes a long time and maybe some secondary pieces. Would you say that's fair?
Yes, I would say that's very accurate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're not focused on a whole lot of, as your terms go, a whole lot of little.
Right.
But we're talking about some bigs and something special, something that will last their lifetime, be passed on statement pieces.
What would you say, or if you know or not, what is your repeat client? Like, are you having a lot of people coming back? Are you having mostly new clients in a year?
At this stage of our game, we've been doing this for over 45 years. I hate to say that because then that's going to age. I've only been doing it for 43. So I've been married.
Well, you're a child bride. You were 12 when you started.
That's right.
Yeah.
We've been doing this a while. So yes, we do have a lot of repeat clients. And a lot of them started out pretty much at the same age we were with their young families. Mm-hmm. And then as we have progressed in Greg's abilities of creating painted pieces and embellished, you know, mixed media pieces, mm-hmm. our clients have also grown in age and in abilities to be able to purchase pieces that are a little bit more stately and a little more expensive. And so now our repeats are we have some that are every year. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot. I'll be very honest and say there's not some that are every single year, but we do have a lot that are every 5 years, every 10 years. Mm-hmm. My family is complete. My children say that my grandchildren are all here now, that kind of thing.
And when you've been in business that long and you've had those good relationships that long, you have enough clients that if they're doing it every other year, every 5 years, every year is somebody's every 5 years.
That's it. That is true. That is very, very true.
For those that are listening that don't necessarily have that, what I would call a foundation, that foundation of your initial like clientele, right? That you're still trying to build that clientele. And as are you and I, we're still trying to build our clientele.
Sure.
Every year you can't, I mean, people age out, like not, I don't mean age out, like people die, you know? So it's like, like we need new people all the time. Right. So,
That's right. So
what are we doing to bring in new clients? And that's your 6 degrees of separation, you know, compared to what people think you should be doing to bring in new clients.
Well, what I have done is I've established with some of my previous clients, my great clients, and I'm going to use a term that Seth Godin created called sneezers. And for those that aren't familiar with that, sneezer, like when you have a cold and you sneeze, it's very gross, but little droplets go everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a sneezer, someone who's like all about Gregory Daniel. They want the world to know that they had a Gregory Daniel portrait, that Gregory Daniel is their photographer, their portrait artist, their whatever their, you know, pieces are. And they, you know, someone comes to their home, they talk all about all their pieces. It's a status symbol. So we are looking for those sneezers that like to go to the parties, that like to be part of the social group, those people, and we encourage them to, the next time somebody comes to your house and says, Mrs. Jones, I'm going to use you. Mrs. Jones, I love these portraits that are on your wall. Look at behind you. They're gorgeous. Who did that? You can say, you know, Gregory Daniel Portraits did this, and let me give you my pamphlet that they have. They have a little catalog type of pamphlet that I can give you that you can call them and they would love to do something for you. I know they would, because now that puts this woman puts you, Mrs. Jones, into the perfect place. You mm-hmm. are telling your friends about somebody you love and some piece in your home that you love, and you want them to have it too. So she will then call me, and I've just told them, just when you do that, call me, give me that person's name, and I will touch base with them. But please make sure that you let them know I'm going to call, or I'm going to text, or I'm going to do whatever, so that it's not a cold call. But, you know, we give them, when we deliver our portraits to our clients, we give them our portrait guide and give them several and say, when somebody comments on this, give them this portrait guide, let me know who it is, and I will help them make this happen. Because what seems to happen to all of us in different aspects of our lives is that we're busy. And yeah, there's going to be a list of things that we need to get done. And the things that are screaming at you are the things that will get done. And to call Gregory Daniel to get a portrait done goes on tomorrow's list, and then tomorrow's list, and then let's just go ahead and do it after the first of the year. And then, oh gosh, it's almost Easter. Yeah. And 2 years has gone by. So
absolutely.
And that happens to all of us in different kinds of things, and it happens mm-hmm. to our business. So what I do is I will call that person and help them establish what is a good time for them as far as the time of year, what works as far as where we would possibly create something. And let me help you make it happen, because I know you are crazy busy. You have 7 children. You have 11 grandchildren. Mm-hmm. This is the last thing you want to think about, but you want it so badly. Yeah. So let me help you. So for example, I did this just this week. I had a client call me and she said, I know somebody who was commenting on my pieces, and I gave her your name. I said, well, if you will call her, let her know that I'm going to call her. Consequently, we met. She has 4 children, all mm-hmm. under the age of 6. We know that she's a busy mom. And she said, thank you so much for calling me, because I can't get to this on my own.
Right.
And I'm like, I get it. I remember.
Yeah. You know, Bob and I. Yeah.
Yeah. So we met. We're going to do it in April because it's in between some birthdays and yada, mm-hmm. yada, yada. I never would have gotten her as a client had I not planted that seed in my sneezer's mind.
I love that. Well, I think, okay, so let me just recap, because I want to make sure I understand this. I wrote it down. So when you're delivering or you're installing the work to the mm-hmm. client, your finished product, you're giving them several brochures and just letting them know, hey, if somebody comments and loves what's on your wall, give them one of these. Let me know that you gave it to them. Let them know that I'm going to be, you know, shoot them a text. Hey, you know, she's going to call you, and let them know. And then you just follow up with that. And that is so not cringy.
Right. It's not creepy.
It's not, who do you know that you could give 3 of these things to, and I'll give you $100 for each person that you do it. You know, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care for that. And I don't care for making it seem like we're trying to get more business out of them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a yucky feeling. So this way she is honored because they love what she has. Oh, mm-hmm. it's no different than you have a beautiful pair of shoes. Somebody comments on your shoes and you go, oh, thanks. I got these at XYZ and it's the Mall at Millennia. And they, you know, these are the best shoes I've ever, you should try them. Go get them before they run out. It's no,
right.
It's no different. The way Greg likes to think on this, on a lot of things, he thinks very differently. I'm grateful for, but one of the things he likes to use other businesses as examples and apply it to us. And so that is one of the examples. I love your shoes. Thank you. And then you start talking about your shoes because you're so proud you have these. He's like, why can't we do that in our business? We can.
Yeah.
We certainly can. So I have trained the trainer by giving her these brochures. I've trained her on what to say, you know, so it's not like I have to go back and call her. Has anybody liked your portraits?
Right. Well, I
hope so. Or, you know, it just puts her in an awkward position, but this way she does it for me and she's happy. And the person that I'm dealing with now, my new client, is thrilled because it's going to happen.
Well, and it's an easy intro to when you call to say, I was just talking to so-and-so and she said you were over looking at the portraits and don't you love her? And isn't she great? And aren't those kids gorgeous? And so it's none of it is about you and your talent and how, what a great photographer you are. It's all about how much you both love that client of yours and how you would love to have a relationship like that with this new and create something as beautiful for them, for their family. Again, not about you, not about you, not about you. It's all about them.
It's all about them. It's all about them. Sometimes I find that someone is new to their neighborhood or their home. They have a new home. And another easy entrance is, you know, this is so great that you now are here in this home. This portrait will commemorate how old your kids are when you move in. And so when, and I have that in my house, I personally have that. My girls were 2 and 4 when we moved into our home. Aww. It is still in the dining room hanging up. They're 2 and 4. So I can look at that and go, that's how old they were when we moved in this house. You can do that as well. And if you move several times, then maybe that portrait will need to move to a new place in your next home and then do it again to commemorate this next move, this next mm-hmm. location. So it's a, that's another very easy entrance into creating some portraits for different people.
I love that too. And I think that's really speaks to using your own personal experience of why portraits mean something to you to talk about it to clients.
I right. think that's,
like my mom had all of us photographed at 2 years old, each kid in an individual portrait. And her mother did that with all of her kids. So, and then I did it, you know, so there's like 3 generations of these 2-year-old portraits.
Because, oh, I bet, you know, they're just lovely.
Darling, you know, and then everybody, you know, when somebody passes, then we all got our 2-year-old portraits. We all have that little treasure of just us, you know. Sometimes you think, man, I've run out of ideas, you know, of why to bring somebody back in or how to get them back in. And there's just endless reasons.
Endless reasons. Endless reasons. Somebody's graduating. I mean, and you know that from maybe it's a past client and you photographed them when they were 5 and 7. And now you know that it's 10 years later, somebody's going to graduate. Why wouldn't you call and say, you know, before your family dynamics change, the family won't change, but the dynamics will once that child goes away to college. Let's get this portrait done. Yeah. I have one of those as well. And that's mm-hmm. one of my favorites. So just use your own personal life experiences.
It's so true. But to do that, you have to have data on your clients to know their ages. And you have to be able to look into that, which again, I'm always banging that drum is that you've got to, you know, the existing client is, you know, where to look. But again, so we're talking about new clients, attracting new clients, getting new clients into your studio. We're doing that with existing clients. Using existing clients as the springboard to do that.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. What else you got?
what else?
I mean, what's the 6 degrees of separation? Oh, what is
In this case, it was only 2 degrees. It was my friend.
Okay.
I'm going to say you are my client. Okay. And you told me about your friend who saw your portrait. So that's really only 2 degrees.
Okay.
Maybe you are part of a charity that you will volunteer for on that board and you know 2 people there that may be interested and you would give me that information. Generally, it's about a 2 to 3 degree of separation because then the opinion is valid and valued by a potential client, but you may know some people that way. Maybe I volunteer myself on a board and I'm on this board. I meet 3 or 4 people who may or may not use me, but they would love to someday if they could, but they tell their friends about me or about Greg because they really love what we do and they like what we stand for on that board and they send their friends to me that way. So it's relationship marketing. The 6 degrees is the book that was out. I can't even tell you who the author is at the moment, but
I'll find it.
Okay, but it's really in my world, it's more like 2 or 3 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. I have a couple of clients who are, I would definitely call them sneezers, that just, you know, love what we do. They come every year and they'll say to me things like, hey, did you know, so-and-so call you? Have you photographed so-and-so yet? And I'm like, no, we haven't seen them. Oh, well, they're going to call you because we told them they came in, they loved what we did, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, if you leave
what
it
would
at
you
that-
do in that situation?
What I do, I would say, okay, you know, what's going to happen is your friend that you just told me about probably really does want to come in. But if she's like the rest of us, she's swamped and we're not going to be top on our list. Her top on our list is picking up the kids from school at 3 and then making sure there's dinner and we got to get to the baseball game. So if you don't mind texting her real quick, asking if she would mind if I get her phone number, I'll give her a quick text and see if I can set up a time for a consultation and we'll go from there. And that way she doesn't have to try to make this happen.
Yeah, that's so good.
It's just real easy.
I'm just thinking of how many things I've left like that. I just think like, what do you say in that? Because just as soon as you're talking about this, I'm like, wait a minute. I can think of like 6 things in the last year that somebody's like, hey, so-and-so, did they call you because they really want to do it? They were like on fire about it. And I'm like, oh no, we haven't seen them. And I'm like, well, hopefully they call.
Yeah. And it does depend on your frame of mind.
I mean, I know better.
Well, if you're swamped and overwhelmed, sometimes you're like, okay, dude, I'll get to that. You know, because then it's the same situation for you. But that it is a pretty easy way.
Right. But that lead in, I think that first sentence, because if you skip that first sentence, which is, look, she's probably, if she's like me or you, she's so busy with blah, 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 blah. If you don't mind to just text her real quick, I'll text her right now. And then at least it gets on the board. That's so no pressure at all. Like the fact that they brought it up to you, it's in their mind. They want to get credit that they referred somebody, you know? Right. So it's not cringy. Whereas if you just went straight to, hey, well, text them right now and I'll get them in. Then that feels a little pushy.
A lot pushy.
Yeah. But if you were like, hey, the reason why she hasn't is like, she's a mom, you know? Right. I think that's so great. Oh my gosh. That makes me sick. Because I want to go back and do that. But at least I know what to do going forward. So that's great.
There you go. We are part of a country club here in our area for the very reason of our business. And I take a lot of clients, past clients, out to lunch. Like I may not have seen them in 3 or 4 years. And I may say, hey, Stacy, let's go to lunch at the yacht club. Do you have any time next week or whatever? We'll go to lunch and we will not talk about the studio unless she says, have you guys been busy? Oh yeah, we've been doing great, blah, blah, blah. But then I kind of let it slide and go away. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be about me. It's going to be all about her and catching up with her. And then she may very well say, you know, we had a Christmas party and so-and-so commented, did they ever call you?
Mm.
Perfect time.
Yeah.
Perfect time. Or she may go home and see some friends at Mahjong or whatever and say, oh, I had lunch with Lisa Daniel today. You know, Gregory Daniel portraits. It just kind of is another way of getting your name
triggers.
Out. Mm-hmm. They are triggers. They are what Greg calls trigger marketing. And I just take people to lunch all the time. I take my sneezers out to lunch a lot just to stay in touch with them. And honestly, as we all do, we have some great clients that become friends.
They can become friends for sure.
And that's what I'm doing too, is taking them. But I take them to the yacht club because that is a location where a lot of my clients are.
Right. And I'm sure you've had situations where somebody, one of their friends comes in and starts talking to them and they introduce you to them or whatever. Right. I mean, of course that's going to happen. Right. So if you don't have a yacht club or a country club, I'm thinking in my area, I mean, there are country clubs in my area, but there are a couple of restaurants in our area that are kind of the watering holes for like my good clients. So I think for somebody that's listening to this, it's like, look, I can't afford a country club membership. How would I do that? You can go to those, like you're not at Applebee's, okay? Like you're going to be at like whatever the restaurant is. And it's not necessarily the shishi restaurant either. It's going to be the really good, yummy local place that people, that your clients, your best clients like to go to. Yeah. And if you don't know what that is, find out.
Yes, yes, yes. And you just, you know, maybe you become part of a book club. Maybe you become part of whatever, just to be social. And I know that a lot of photographers like to be behind the camera for a reason because they don't want to be out there and put themselves out there. But in this way of marketing, that's what I do. Fortunately, I'm a people person, so I don't mind doing this. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. And so I think if you hate to do this kind of thing, it's not going to work. You may need to find somebody else who will do this for you. You know, I don't know the answer because I'm not in that situation. But
right. But well, it's just like anything else, though. It's like if you're going to be a portrait photographer and you don't like people, you really are in the wrong business.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I mean, that's a harsh way to say it, but it's just, that's a fact. You can do a beautiful job at it, but you're never going to really reach the heights that you want to reach because it's all about relationship and people and how you interact with people. Yeah. And some people might be more social than others, but you can play to your strengths. In fact, my book club that I'm in has like three of my best clients is in my book. Yeah.
There you go.
And that was kind of just came about from conversations that we'd had over the years or whatever. So, but I love books and I love reading. So that plays to my strengths. Whereas like going to a country club and having to like really get maybe dressed up or whatever, like I'd kill me now, you know, like I'd rather go to the restaurant, you know, like the country club thing just wouldn't suit me. It just wouldn't. So again, I think that there's not any one right way to do it. We can all play to our strengths. Some people might be pickleball players or hikers or whatever. Fill in the blank.
Whatever.
You attract the kind of person I think that you are too. Also the kind of families that you are. I think it's just really interesting when you really look at your clientele, you can kind of see some threads of these people vibe with you, with who
That's
you
right.
are.
Yeah. That's right. And so then they want to be around you. They want to support you and they want what you do. So.
Yeah. And they look at your work and there's something about that resonates with them. And then it attracts other people like that.
Right. And you like doing business with people you like.
Yeah.
You don't want to do business with someone you're like, oh, I just can't stand this person. So if you're very similar to them, they're going to like you, you know, and that's going to be great.
Yeah.
It would work really, really well.
And then you're building a business that you love with people, clients that you love and relationships that you love. I mean, what could be And you're helping them document the people that they love. Like, what could be better? Like, what a meaningful, rich life.
Yes. 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 Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you've done it. You've created it. I think it's so interesting how you guys have created that. I feel like we've created that, but our businesses look, our styles are incredibly different. And probably our clientele is probably incredibly different.
Probably so. Yeah. Probably
yet,
so.
We love it and it's meaningful, you know? So it could be. There's a lot of different ways to do it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. There's no one mold. Like you have to do it Gregory Daniels way. It has to look like this, or it has to look like ATJ, or it has to look like Tim Walden. Like, no, it can be so many different ways.
Yes. Yes. And just think of it in terms of even your personal style. Greg's personal style is when he's with clients, he's got his jeans on, but he's got a jacket on.
Mm-hmm.
Just to elevate. That's his that it may not be your style. It doesn't need to be. That's just who he is and the statement he's making. You wear black a lot. I never wear black. You look great in it. I do not. So, you know,
you look great in everything.
This is navy. You can't tell it by what we're wearing. Our styles are different in just how we appear. And that's the way we need to be as far as our clients are concerned too. Don't try to be like Lisa. It's not going to work. You be you and take some nuggets and some principles from what we're talking about and apply that. But don't try to say it the way I do or be exactly as I am because I'm going to change it. I'm going to evolve. I'm going to continually evolve as I learn more and do better at what I do. So I think we all need to work on who we are and be the best version of that.
For sure. I feel like when I first started out, I didn't even know who I was. You know,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? You're kind of generalist. You're kind of doing a little bit of everything for everyone and hoping that something sticks and that people will pay you to do something with your camera, you know? And so you don't really know. And then you kind of attract a motley crew of people. So you're going to get people that are going to boss you around and tell you how to do it, or they're going to ask you for things that you really don't want to do that aren't you. And so what can happen is you can get a business or get known for things that you really hate. And there comes a time where you have to maybe prune some of that and kind of move forward like in an intentional way, rather than just saying, sure, I'm here and I'll do whatever you want. You can step forward and say, no, this is what we specialize in. And that's how you're able to get those sneezers to speak for you, is that you have a clear message to give them. It's not like, oh yeah, Greg and Lisa will do whatever you need. You need your ladybug in your front yard photograph? Sure, he'll be right there. Or your, you know, like, no, it's like, it's families. It's looks like this. It's in a, this kind of frame. It's painted. It's amazing. It's over the top. And that's who you need to go to for that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's who we are. That's what we do.
I love it. Well, you always have, every time that you've been on, you guys always have like the best nuggets of information. I always learn something. And so I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, because we are in the thick of the busy, 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 busy. So I know that time is at a premium. So I really appreciate your time.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. I'm very happy to do it. I'm happy to do it for you, but I'm also happy to do it for all of your listeners. I am one of those listeners. So there's little nuggets that we all get from your podcast. So I thank you for doing it.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's a labor of love for sure. Before we go, I want to ask you a couple of questions. One is, what is something that you would tell your younger in business self? Is there something that you've learned that you would, if you could go back, you know, what's something that you know now that you wish you'd known then?
I think one of the biggest things is not to be afraid of pricing.
Mm.
We've been doing this a long time. So our younger self started, Greg was 19, I was 22, and it was a long time ago. So
yeah,
we were just like everyone else. We were afraid. We were afraid if we charged too much, people would not pay. Mm-hmm. And I would tell my younger self, don't pay attention to what somebody else is doing. Pay attention to what you feel is appropriate for what you are doing, for your market, for your area, and be confident and strong about that and not be afraid.
Mm.
I was very afraid, you know, as I think most of us are, as we all were. And so like, they're not going to come in the door. Well, maybe those three people won't, but there'll be two more that will, mm-hmm. because now you've elevated yourself. So I think it would be pricing. Don't be afraid of your pricing. And I think we struggled with that for many years at different levels.
Yeah, for sure.
As we moved up.
Yeah. I think that's such good advice. And then last, is there a favorite book, business book, or anything that you've been reading lately? Or it could be a classic that you just love that you read again and again. You've given us a couple with the 6 degrees of separation. We'll find out what that is and who that author is and link that in the show notes. And you said Seth Godin also, that you love Seth Godin.
We've read every single one of his books over and over again. I find him brilliant, just brilliant. Right now, I'm not doing anything businessy. I am a book, a Kindle, and an audio person going all at the same time.
Same.
Really?
Yes.
So I've got the Rose Code on my Kindle.
Okay, that was good.
That was good. I just finished The Women.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
Love that.
Did you like it?
I did not like it. I'm the only person on the planet that did not like that book. I liked the first part of it, but then I felt it devolved into like soap opera YA thing. But I loved, like, until she got home from Vietnam, and then the rest of it was just blah. I loved the Vietnam part though.
I did too.
Okay, so The Women, and then what was the other one?
And the other one that I am reading right now is, golly, this, it's called Be Ready When Luck Happens, and it's Ina Garten.
Oh yeah. The one about her memoir.
I think there's some business nuggets in there.
For sure.
For one, I love to cook, so I really like her as a role model, and I like to entertain, but I also like listening to her business strategies or lack of. She would just throw herself out there and just do it. And
do it.
So I really enjoyed that book a lot.
I'm going to read that. I've heard good things. Yeah, I've got on my audio, I have Middlemarch by George Eliot. So it's a 45 hours. Yeah. It's so good. Oh, it's so good. Like my English major is just like, my brain cells are soaking it up. It's so good. But you know, there's a million characters in it, but it's so good. I've got that on audio. And then I just finished, well, for our book club, we read James by Percival Everett, which was amazing. And that was like, it's basically like a kind of a retelling of Huckleberry Finn, but from the slave's perspective, from Jim's perspective.
Oh,
and it is so good. It's so good. It's on the like top 10 list for the year for 2024, all over on everybody's list. Yeah. So that's on my Kindle app. And then I don't know what kind of books you like to read, but like, now this is turning into book club, but The Strange Sally Diamond was like an Irish novel by
about this girl that's, she's kind of spectrumy, but there's a reason why, and it's kind of dark. And anyway, so that's a good one too. So, but yeah, I'm the same. I will do audio, Kindle. And then if I really, really loved it and I want to mark it up, then I'll buy the actual book.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. 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 And I would love to have one of those beautiful libraries, but I don't, but yes.
Well, you need one. How are you going? Yes, you do. That picture of you and that one picture of you and Greg.
Well, it's just one wall. I would like to have a library.
That's one thing that when we built this house, I was like, I have got to have the library, the dining library. And so that room of bookshelves is like, every time I walk in there, I'm just like, even though I don't really read books anymore, but they're my trophy. So when I read, when I finish them on Audible or finish them on Kindle, then I will buy the book. And then that's my trophy.
Yes, absolutely. I do that.
I love it. I love that you're all readers. We need to have our own book club.
That's right. I would love that. I would love that.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. We'll do it by text because we're so busy. Why can't we not do it by text?
We can.
Okay. All right. We're doing it.
All right.
Well, you're the best. Thank you so much. I thank you for being here. Appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Loved it.
Thanks for being here today. I hope that you've learned something useful that you can take away and make your business better than ever. And if you have, we would love for you to share this episode with another photographer that you think it would help. If you have a minute and could give us a review on the podcast, it would mean the world. Sharing and reviewing the podcast helps us reach a wider audience, and we want to help as many portrait photographers as we can to build better and better businesses. Sharing and reviewing the podcast helps this podcast reach a wider audience, and we want to help as many photographers as we can to build their best business yet. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
You can find more great resources from Allison at dotherework.com and on Instagram at do.the.rework.